You are now tuned into the Charlotte Business Podcast Booth, only on the QC Amplified Network, the place where real people tell real stories through real conversation. Be sure to visit the website QCAmplified.com, where you can watch and listen to more from the network. But right now, let's get into it.
Thank you, Jesus. We're good? All right, this is the Charlotte Business Podcast Booth. We are live at Charlotte Networking Knowledge Networking Event, joined by one of the moderator. Going to be moderating here tonight, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Chris?
Yeah, Chris Monroe.
Chris Monroe? What you doing here? Besides, you know, the obvious.
Well, I'm here to flex those speaking muscles.
Okay.
Right? Keep the conversation going. Keep everyone flowing. Kind of be that MC that guides the conversation to a higher point, higher level. I don't know if you've ever read Think and Grow Rich, but Napoleon Hill says whenever there's two or more people in a conversation, there becomes a third personality or a fourth personality that develops out of that conversation. For me, I want to raise the level of conversation so that everyone here in this room can tap into that higher level of thought, higher level of conversation, and we can all take that home with us to enhance our personal lives, our business lives, and our family lives.
That's cool, man. Sound like a well-rehearsed.
Not well rehearsed. It's one of those things that, you know, it's just who I am. I like to share who I am and help everyone around me.
So you do a lot of speaking?
I do quite a bit of speaking. You know, I'm all about, you know, my business is called Op Framework, Operate, Plan, Scale Framework. I love helping people with operations, planning, and scaling. But not only that, I come from a motivational speaker passion. When I was a little kid, I used to love listening to Tony Robbins infomercials. Les Brown was my hero, had an opportunity to train with him. So anytime I can help improve the world around me, whether it's business, personal, family, pleasure, I'm all about helping the people around me.
I like this guy, man. You seem like you would be the hype man on the football team. Like right before they go on the field, you'd be the guy in the middle of the huddle.
Interestingly enough, I was the guy that was really quiet and angry on the football field. And then when it came to like actually leading the charge and taking on leading the defense, that's when I became the hype man. So I was the on the field hype man, not so much the hype man off the field. I like to keep the energy for when I'm on the field. When it's game time, it's game time.
Let me guess your position. Defensive end.
In high school, but I played nose tackle in college.
Okay.
So I was in the middle of the mix, and if there was any trouble to be found, I was usually in the middle of that trouble.
What's the highest level you got to?
Okay, college. College football. Yeah, I played college football.
Where at?
University of Delaware.
Okay.
Now, admittedly, I didn't finish my football career there because partying and fun got in the way of my academics, and, you know, I went the wrong direction. But that didn't set me back in life. That actually set me up for the greatest comeback to kind of reach new levels, new persona, and, you know, take that leader on the field to become a leader in the business world.
Man, you got it, bro. You got it. You
appreciate it, man. Thank you.
You're making this really easy. Let me ask you, before we go on to the other stuff,
sure.
When it comes to the football, did you leave healthy? Because everybody I talked to that played high school, college, they got something they're dealing with.
Interestingly enough, I left healthy, but what didn't leave healthy was my brain. Playing from high school, I grew up in the era where if you got a hit in the head and you were looking at stars, they said, I'll get back in there. You can see how many fingers I have up. You know what your name is? Go play. Well, later on in life, that kind of set me back a little bit. I had two car accidents, one in 2017 and one in 2019. The 2019 one put me on long-term disability, and it didn't take much. It was a fender bender that just tapped me, and my brain shut off and turned back on, and eyes didn't work right. But that kind of led me to a new setup in life to start my own business, help improving people, dive into that motivational speaker, the business speaker. So, yeah, I left healthy, but the injuries that I had couldn't be seen. And that's something I think I'm happy that NFL and sports are fixed in general, because that concussion protocol is a lifesaver for these kids these days.
That's real. I'm not letting my son play football.
Flag football is fine.
Yeah.
Flag's good. And I'll be honest with you, there's a path forward in flag. They've got NFL is supporting the flag football league.
Olympics and all that stuff.
Yeah, all the Olympics. I believe at some point in time in the next 10 years, college football is going to have flag football scholarships available. And it's just something that is a safer way to play, especially if you're a skilled player.
Yeah. There's too much money there, opportunity for, even with flag football. Like,
oh, yeah.
For that.
Oh, yeah.
For them to not explore that.
Yeah. Flag football is a fast, fun game.
Yeah, I remember playing when I was. I'm still wee high according to you.
I did not say that. I just referenced that. I think I'm not the giant that you're standing next to. I have this smaller version of me, but that large personality likes to come out.
Appreciate that. Tell me about your business, man. Ops Framework?
Yeah, Ops Framework. So Operate, Plan, Scale Framework. So when I was sidelined in 2019, I had to really figure out what can I do well? How can I help improve the world around me? So I sat down, I did a little write-up of everything that I love doing. And I really started to understand, like, I love how things operate. I like kind of getting into the weeds, figuring out where things are broken and making them better. I love planning. I use a system that's well known out there. It's called Objectives and Key Results. But I found that that planning phase is good. It gets people aligned, and I'm really good at taking 10 goals, putting them into buckets and helping people operate, figure out where that their company should go. And then the scaling phase is the last part, where I call AIM, action plan, implement, and measure. And that's my own take on the OKR structure that really helps companies thrive and grow. When properly implemented, a 500-person company can see employee happiness raise. You can see people want to stay there longer because they feel like they're more important. They know what their role does to help the company get better around them.
Okay, so what companies are reaching out to you?
Typically tech companies. I love working with non-profit companies, and I love working with independent medical providers. People in the medical field are brilliant at what they do, but they may not be the best goal setters. They may not be the best people that are good at being the CEO of the company, but they're amazing doctors. I can come in and show them how to be the CEO, be the leader. Same for tech companies, same for non-profit organizations. I love working with passionate people that are skilled in what they do and how they deliver their product, but more importantly, I'm the one that comes in and shows them how to make their systems and organizations stronger so they can start scaling and have a bigger impact. I believe we're all here to have an impact on the world. Helping them have the best impact, the most powerful impact they can have, is really why I do what I do and where my passion comes from.
Oh, man. Now, I heard you mention a couple different industries. Is there one industry that you do? Tech.
Tech. I come from the tech background, so I love SaaS companies. I feel like technology people are the most brilliant people in the world. There's a little bias here, admittedly, but at the same time, we may not be the best operators, may not be the best technical CEOs and things like that. So working with them to align their goals and that vision with creating a sales team, creating a marketing department, creating processes and putting those processes in place to help their entire company grow, not just deliver a technology solution to one person at a time.
Now, with this, does that mean you're finding third-party vendors and bringing those in to help these companies?
Or? Oh, yeah, certainly. You know, I call it my champion network. I'm looking and developing and have champions out there. I want to have 5 different people in different fields. You know, I consider myself a business coach, more of a fractional CEO, depending on what kind of engagement I'm looking for. But I like working with the fractional CROs. I like working with the fractional CFOs. I like to bring other people that have their expertise to be able to drive and create solutions for that company going forward. Marketing folks. I love working with the marketing teams. I love working with the sales guys all across the board. I think when you have a good power team or a champion team around you, you're best set up to serve and help people become more successful, even when it's outside of your skill set.
So, you speak well. Somebody who doesn't speak so well, it doesn't listen well either. Could you give me an example of something, a situation that you brought in to help with, maybe a solution that you provided?
Certainly. And I'll actually defer back to a recent goal setting workshop I did a couple of weeks ago. I was talking to a group of people, amazing group of entrepreneurs. And, you know, one person is, you know, working a job but looking to start a business. And I could tell when I went through the whole, here's how we set up these objectives, here's how we set up these key results, she started to feel a little stressed. Because she was like, well, I got 10 goals I'm working on. And here's what I said, look, let's take a step back. If I can figure out a way to make you feel less stressed about these goals, will you feel better about this call? I said, yeah, sure. If you can do it with a little, you know, tension there. I said, okay, watch this. So we took all of the goals. I said, well, you got 9-10 goals. I'm hearing 3 different objectives. One is to launch your business with confidence. 2 is to create a happy onboarding system for new clinicians. 3 is to have 2 to 3 clients in the first 90 days of your business. All of those goals you said to me fit into one of those 3 buckets. If we can put those in 3 buckets and start creating action plans that help you take a step-by-step iterative process to accomplishing those, you don't have to have all of it done right away, but you break it up into smaller steps. That's when you start reaching those goals, and that's when it feels attainable. How would that feel? And it was like watching the stress on someone's shoulders. You know, you see them go, ah, it literally looked like all of the weights were dropped. She felt clear. She felt like she got value of where she's going to go, and she has a plan forward. Now, whether she works with me or not, I've given her the tools to be more successful in a very iterative, strategic, and possible way.
That's dope. Do you use AI a lot in what you do?
I love AI. So I don't know if you heard me in the background talking. One of the things that I do with AI is I love leveraging the AI for what it does best. In a clean, quick example, I've got a lead magnet that I offer on my website. Create 5 blogs in 2 hours. First step, use Perplexity to go find your ideas by searching the web and creating a list with SEO keyword-focused ideas. The second step, use ChatGPT for what it's good for, creating summaries, creating an outline for what you want. And then I go to Claude AI to actually have it write, because in my opinion, that's the best writing AI for code as well as just writing. And then my fourth step is human interaction. You know, AI is going to do 80% of the work. I need to do something, right? So I take that article, I create little stories here and there, I touch things up, I make sure there's no M dashes, that long dash that AI is infamous for adding, and I then feed that back into Perplexity based on the SEO and the keyword research and have it clean it up, make sure the SEO is there, make sure I'm speaking English and it's proofread, but then I also have it reference some of my previous writings and speakings so it sounds like me and thinks like me, so everything is finalized in a format that is produced by originally my thoughts, it aligns with my content and my business, but most importantly, it provides value for what people are actively looking for in the marketplace.
That's dope. Now, speaking of SEO, I'm big on blogging over the last few years.
Awesome.
Back when I had my gym, I'm in 2015, that's when I first started blogging for that. It was tremendous as far as getting traffic. I'm big on analytics.
Yeah,
Do you feel like that's less effective, like SEO? Because when you go to search on Google, it's going to give you an AI response before it serves up articles.
Right.
So do you think it's still important to get that type of content?
There is AI SEO is a thing now.
Okay.
So what you want to do is when you create your articles, you want to be creating things that AI is going to use as a reference. So when you get those AI responses, it's opsframework.com said this. It's my blog that was referenced and quoted by AI. So you got to start writing content that is going to be searchable and usable by AI so that AI can then say, okay, here's an expert you may want to go to. So yes, that AI summary is great, but make sure you're creating content that is valuable, useful, and actively being searched for within the AI tools, and you'll start getting ranked as an AI source for those AI responses.
What's the difference?
What's the difference in terms of what?
You said AI SEO.
Mm-hmm.
Google SEO.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, so one of the things you have to think about is, what are my clients going to ask AI?
Right? Okay.
People are asking questions that are a little bit more sophisticated. 10 years ago, it was dry cleaners near me. Now it's, what company uses the safest for the environment dry cleaning methodology? Right? And then AI is going to go say, okay, this is the safest dry cleaner around. They focus on this. They have, they recycle their water. They do whatever it is. And I'm not a dry cleaning expert, but I can tell you that if
probably
you're
probably not doing, a good idea to recycle the water.
But in some businesses, in some companies, like eco-friendly buildings, they're recycling the water for different purposes. So one of the things that I always suggest is figure out what your customers are asking AI and answer those questions in your articles and your content.
And that's, again, different from what they might be typing in Google.
Absolutely.
They expect more from AI, so they're going to... Again, that's good, man. I like... You know your stuff, man.
I appreciate it, man. Look, here's the thing. I never consider myself an expert in anything. I am always learning, always growing. And there's one advice I can give your audience, give you, give anyone I talk to. Constantly seek growth by learning new things. When you say you're grown and you can't learn anything else, that's when you become the victim of stagnation. You know, if you're a Nas fan, sleep is the cousin of death. Don't sleep on any new knowledge. Use that knowledge to grow who you are as a person and improve the world around you.
Where are you from?
New York.
What part?
Long Island. Okay. South Shore, Long Island.
Okay. How can people find you real quick before she gets started?
You can find me and check me out on opsframework.com or at opsframework on Instagram. And opsframework.com, that'll lead you to all my social medias.
Okay, cool. Chris, man, I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much. You have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thank you.
Best one, man.